So our neighborhood, we're going to throw a party because we have electricity back. It's just like we have the microphone back. Praise the Lord for that. And it's just so funny because such a long time we went out to the street, everybody, we put on gloves and then try to clean the street. We have quite a few trees block the road. And Sunday night, like 3 days later, we couldn't get out. So everybody with glove and saw and then had cut the road. So at least one car can pass through. We have probably about 10 houses. The tree land on the house, the front and the back, and the neighborhood, the car. But everybody seemed to be in a very, very good spirit. We laugh, we talk, we joke. And the same thing, the group of people also came to our neighborhood, talk about the gospel. And when I listen to them, and of course I'm the pastor, I also walk around and share the gospel. And roughly about 4 or 5 people came to Christ after the day after the hurricane or the storm. But another group walked in, and they also said they share the gospel, but turned out to be the false gospel. So that reason why I picked the passage today in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. See what exactly the true gospel is on about. And the whole message, not to accept any imitation of the gospel. Okay? And it's just so strange because a lot of people out there have the misunderstanding about true gospel. Let me go ahead and read chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 in the book of Galatians. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let background a little bit. The church of Galatians was founded by Paul when he missionary in Galatians. And the first 2 years of the church is very, very good. And however, when Paul, he moved on to another region, and the false teacher and preacher come into the church of Galatians, and they preach another gospel. And the end result, when Paul came back and visit, he saw the church like go astray, move in different direction, and they no longer believe in Jesus Christ. So he wrote a letter to correct the issue of the true gospel in the gospel in the church of Galatians. So what exactly is the gospel? The gospel, believe it or not, is the heart and the soul of Christianity. If you get it wrong, you get about Christianity wrong. And if it's just like you travel, if your compass is supposed to be get the true north, but if you get off tracks and you never get into your destination, and the compass with the false north will get you, will lead you astray. So the true gospel is a message of grace and peace. Divine grace is the basic of the gospel. Peace between, just like the book of Galatians said, the peace between God and man is the result of this divine grace. So, to summarize, gospel is theocentric in verse 5. God had to be is the focus point of the gospel. The imitation or heresy of imitation gospel is mean, I use a big word, because it's anthropocentric, which means that man is a focal point. They make man is a focus of attention. So when you listen to the people, they say, They tell the good news, the gospel. But if Jesus Christ is God, not the central of the message, it means it's a false gospel. And when you go through the gospel of God is glorified, the salvation. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 14, if you have a chance to read. Salvation is not about us first and foremost. It is about God. It is about God, who he is and what he does. It is about his great love coupled with his uncompromised holiness. And that's the gospel. And secondly, you would find out gospel is a good news. It's a good news for us. And when we talk about the good news, basically it's talking about gospel is a free gift to all who believe and receive it. When Paul, he talked about the gospel is from God, it means God will try to save us. And it is God who initiate the whole thing, and that is grace. And you see the word in the gospel, they repeat a lot of word, but the most word they repeat is a grace. So God planned in the beginning of time about the gospel, how he wants to save us. So you would understand the gospel also is a bad news for the people. Because the people, we understand we are the sinner under control of the present age in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 1. And all of us, we understand we live in the very, very sinful world. So again, everybody knows very, very obvious about this. And you could be blind or deaf or dumb and still know we live in the evil age, and especially during this time, or even the children at the early age understand we live in a very, very chaos world. And of course, as a parent, we've tried to block or, protect our kid to expose to that evil world. And that reason why a lot of story out there are talking about the love with good and bad characters. And you would find out a lot of children book now, they always point out what is good and what is not good. And a lot of good books out there, which we have to go through if you have the children, and you need to consider that. But the bad news in the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 23, talking about we cannot escape the claw of sin, is very, very difficult to escape from it. And also, when we talk about the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to understand Christ, he freely gave himself for our sin and rescued us from the present evil age. And Jesus Christ, he died for us and he paid a full penalty of sin. And he freely gave himself because of our sin. He rescued us from our sin. And Jesus, the Bible talking about, he never knew sin, but he became sin to us. And that basically the nutshell of the Bible. And our church, when we go out, we share the gospel, we usually use 5 points of the gospel. Basically, this 5 points of gospel is a summary of the whole Bible, believe it or not. So yes, we teach the people how to share the gospel, but suddenly people ask you, oh, you are a Christian, you read the Bible. Can you tell us about the Bible? What exactly is it? And you use the same gospel presentation and to tell the people even about the Bible. It's only 5 points. Grace. Grace is a gift from God. Man, we are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. God, he loves, but he also judges. Christ, who is he? He's a God-man. What did he do? He died on the cross because of our sin. How to receive the gift of eternal life? through faith. Faith is not something we know, knowledge. Faith is not something, you know, temporal. It means you remember and you forget. Faith is believing in Jesus Christ alone to have salvation. So the same gospel presentation, basically, with this 5 points, is a summary of the whole Bible. If you keep this in mind, the Bible will, when you read the Bible, it open up for you to understand it, you know, in detail. So the next one, Paul, he talked to the church of Galatians, accept no imitation. And Paul gave very sound instruction to the Galatians and for us, each one of us, and for the church today. What exactly he talking about? Number one, in verse 6 and 7, basically he warned or he advised, he provided instruction to the church, don't accept the cheap perversion of the gospel. What exactly he tried to tell us? Because if the message not talking about or doesn't say about grace by faith, it's just the worthless of imitation. What exactly Paul talking about in verse 6 and 7? Paul dealing with the religion at that time, the Judaism. And these people believe many correct things. Okay? Correct thing. But however, they believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's only the person. Okay? And they believe the oneness of God. They also believe in the sinfulness of man. But the problem of their belief, they believe you not only just believe in Christ, but you also believe in some other thing, okay, in order to have salvation. So what they try to communicate to the people, or even the people today, the work of Christ is not enough. You have to do extra thing in order to be sufficient. So they not completely throw away the gospel, but they add it in the gospel. And Paul, his experience happened in the early church, if you have a chance to read the book of Acts chapter 15. So they teach Christ plus something else to have salvation. And a lot of religion today, they do that. They look like a Christian, but they are not. They said they believe in God, okay? But God or Christ, salvation alone, is not enough. You have to do extra thing. And secondly, if the message doesn't say grace by faith, it just attempt to confuse you. In chapter 1, verse 7, the sin, if you remember, in 2010, the earthquake in Haiti, like 100,000 people died. And Haiti in chaos and confusion. And believe it or not, when the people in confusion, they don't know what to do. And the story talking about in Haiti, or even happened in New York too, but I try to avoid talk about America. So pick Haiti. And during that confusion, people began to loot. Okay? Okay, let me go back. Even happened in Houston. Remember during the no electricity and flood, a lot of looting happened. Why the people do that? Because they're confused. They're confused there would be no food. They're confused because they get wrong information, misinformation. So that reason why they loot. Okay? And it can happen in, oh yeah, not only a couple of years ago, it happened in Houston. And it can happen now. And I really thankful because during the Rancho thing, the communication, the broadcast, you know, low radio frequency coming out very, very good. So the people, you didn't see looting going on in the city of Houston. So Paul said, the people, there are confusion And when they confuse, they disturb the believer, there are unsettling things that happen in the church of Galatia. The false teacher or even the preacher teach the doctrine always confuse the people. When confusion happen or confusion happen, it will create chaos, which cause a lot of Christian to stray. Otherwise, they in good, favorable behavior. So suddenly in the church, the people, suddenly some behavior begin to go off tracks. Maybe they listen to false doctrine or false gospel. Because we live in the world now is mass communication, YouTube and Facebook, and a lot of way to get the message out there. Okay? And you can see the mix of good gospel, imitation gospel, good doctrine, and false doctrine also happen. Let's see, last week, even one of the deacons came to me and asked me to listen to one of the sermons. And initially, that sermon is very, very good. The Bible straight. However, in the middle, begin to go wrong. It's something is not right. Okay? And when I listen closely, this person, supposed to be preacher, promote, he used the message, the children of God, but actually he promote like a little God, okay? And little God has a power equal to Christ. It's been big God. So everyone as a little God can do a lot of things and begin to off-track from the gospel, from the Bible itself. And when you listen a little bit closer, this person promotes individuality. Okay, that's fine because each one of us will have individual freedom. But use a message to break down the family, okay, the fellowship break down against each other, break down the unity of the church, it means something not right. And the conclusion, he go back to the Bible. So somewhere in the middle, he begin to off-track and get the people confused. And they come to me and say, Pastor Hansen, can you listen? And is it correct or not? Because initially, introduction correct, in the middle, I get incorrect, and then at the end, use the Bible again. So when we list the message, we have to be extremely careful this day. And thirdly, if the message doesn't say grace by faith, it's just the perversion of gospel, again, of verse 7. As subtle as it seems, the false teacher will turn in the true gospel on its head by making it into something it was not. And it happened. Okay? Even in the book, some book explain about Bible. One member of the church gave me the book about the blessing of God. Remember Christ, the Sermon on the Mount? Okay? And the first verse, correct. Second one, correct. Roughly about 7 verses in the whole book. Explain each one. But it went to verse 5. It off. It's not right. And then 6, 7, it's okay. So what the false teacher sometimes, you know, he wrote the book or the sermon, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is correct, but 6 is off track. So the first 5 or 6 chapters to build your church, but the 6th one begin to off tracks, and the 7 I correct again. But it's only when you interpretation or when you interpret the Bible, if your off tracks are off one section of the Bible, you're off the whole Bible. So that's what happened in the world today. So our church people want to use Starbrook to do the meditation or the Bible study, everyday Bible study. So I say, well, yeah, you can use chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tear away chapter 6. It's okay, 7 and 8. So it's always good to go through. And of course, I explain in there. They can use it, but they need to know it's not right. And I have to be able to explain why it's not right. Okay? And that's the freedom when we do study. The same thing when you go to school. A lot of things in school may not be right. And you have to be able to explain and defend why it's not correct. Even studying math, you know, social science, history, whatever. Do the research so you can defend what you believe in, even in school. Some of you at work, same thing. Sometimes your boss is incorrect, but don't go straight to him and say you're not right. Incorrect, and you do the research, and you have to be able to defend why he obstructs. Don't say, hey, you're wrong. When I was the boss, if my subordinate come to me and say, boss, you're wrong, and you know, I'm a little bit boiling inside, but if he be able to explain, okay, why it's not right, okay, and propose something better, and then I would accept and I would respect the person, and probably by the time he get review, we have good review and promotion too. Okay, so the modern days, this day, there's some imitation of the true gospel, Mormonism, teach the Christ died on the cross for sin, but that he died only provide immortality, not salvation. So is it only by obeying teaching of Mormonism that one can be saved? That false gospel. Okay, Jehovah Witness. Last time, a lot of Jehovah Witness, they go into in our neighborhood. They believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, but his death is not sufficient for salvation. So in addition to having faith, the person must be baptized by immersion, be actively associated with the Kingdom Hall, it's mean Mormon, be absolutely loyal to Jehovah as they defy Jehovah. Okay? So that's a little bit different there. And the Church of Christ, you know, there's two Church of Christ this day. Down the road, Daria Ashford, they say the Church of Christ, but the latest saint, Dr. Mormon. Okay? And there's a Church of Christ. So the Church of Christ teaches that you have to be baptized to be saved. On top of that, if you are not baptized in the Church of Christ, then you are not saved. So you have to be baptized in the Church of Christ and then you say. But if you are baptized by other church, then you're not saved. So, and a lot of denominations, I picked three, the top three right here. In each case, this group are teaching that salvation is Christ. That's correct. But had to be blessed on something else, which is false. According to the true gospel, salvation is by faith in Christ alone. Okay? And that the gospel. And point number three, I will go fast. Don't be fooled. Stay true to the gospel, verse 8 to 10. It doesn't matter who the person is. If he doesn't preach the true gospel, you must reject it. On TV, internet, YouTube this day, a lot of people say, I'm a pastor. But listen to his message. If he doesn't preach the true gospel, reject it. You have to exercise like the church of Galatians through Paul when he wrote the letter. Because a lot of people this day, or religion this day, they may have very, very good credential. Maybe this person has very, very good credential. Maybe they come in the church of Galatians. These people from Jerusalem is being a good city, the home of the mother church. So they may introduce they from certain church. And they know the Bible, just like the people this day. They may know the Bible forward and backward. They have the degree in the good school. They were master of persuasion. And who can dispute them? But if you listen to the message, it's not the true gospel, reject them. Even Paul, he doesn't care if it is himself or even the angel who preaches a different gospel. He said, reject them. If Paul, Apostle Paul, he said, if he say not the true gospel, reject him. The angel of the Lord not say the true gospel, reject the angel too. So it doesn't matter how many degrees the person have at the end of their names or how big is the church. If they don't preach the true gospel, reject it. Okay? Why? Reject it because it's false. Reject it because they are preached different gospel, are eternally condemned. Paul, he used the word anathema. It means the strongest condemnation word Paul could possibly use. So this is a very stern message Paul tried to warn the church of Galatians. So if you translate this word, it say, let these people be under God's curse. See how strong that word is. So, and it doesn't matter who the person is, if he doesn't preach the true gospel, but the most important you are have to be stay true with the gospel. Because if you know what is the true gospel, it's very, very easy to distinguish when somebody come to you or talk about Christ or talk about the Bible. But if you don't understand the nature of the core true gospel, it's very, very difficult to distinguish. Because yes, they talk about Christ. They talk about Christ on the cross. And so when you agree, and suddenly they say, but it's not enough. You have to do extra thing. And you have to be baptized in our church, the salvation, like the Church of Christ. And then it's a false. So a conclusion, does it really matter? Does it really true? So Paul, when he wrote a letter to the church for the Galatian, the people of Galatian church, because I just go astray. They get the false message from the false teacher, the false preacher, so they get off track. So he gets a warning. So he warning against any gospel, not the true gospel of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you still remember tsunami? Okay, a couple of you. It happened in Asia. And believe it or not, our church, last year we have the chance to visit Phuket, one of the islands in Thailand. It's beautiful. And one of the girls with the family vacation in that place, her name is Tilly Smith, is only 10 years old. And they recognize her as the one who saved her parents and a lot of people who vacation in Phuket when tsunami get ready to hit. Because this 10 years old girl study about a school geography lesson, and she know what tsunami mean. So when her family a vacation in Malacao Beach. Okay, backtrack a little bit. How many of you visit a vacation in Phuket, Thailand? It's a good place. Have vacation there. And not expensive. And you would understand what I'm talking about in Macau Beach. When the sea begin to bubble and rush away from the shore. And this girl come to her mom, say, Mommy, we must get off the beach now. And she said, I think there's going to be a tsunami. When the adult Initially, when I do not understand storm or the sea, the water moving out, but they understand when she used the word tsunami, the tidal wave, and the parent also help her to get the people out of the beach and get to the high land. So they experience, they listen to her warning, they evacuate the beach. That the only section of beach along the shore of Phuket where no one was killed or even seriously hurt. The only beach. So if you have the chance to visit Phuket, one of the island, beautiful island in Thailand, very good vacation spot. I'm not advertised, okay? But I visited there, it's very, very good. You will hear the story of this girl, how she helped a lot of people and not get hurt or even killed. And that the only section of the beach, nobody get killed. So the same thing, Paul, he warned the church of Galatians, unbeliever, okay? His warning, like, don't ever accept the imitation of the true gospel. Okay? And that's what the message I want to share with you. And that's the message I hope you remember. And we have Chris here, right? Good, Chris. Okay, I pray real quick. Because we have Pastor Chris, we do this section. Because we have one graduate from college, okay, BS degree, one postgraduate, and we have 3 high school graduates this year. So when I look around, Emily and Chris' parents told me they cannot stay until lunch because we plan to have a celebration to lunch. So I brought the gift, and Pastor Chris will pass it out. I already wrote the name of Emily on the gift, but during the transition, I go out there and sign, and Pastor Chris will sign the gift because he come in late. Let us stand up so I can pray, and we switch over to a celebration of graduation, okay? Our Father, we thank you very much because we learned lesson from the past, the lesson for the Church of Galatians. And this lesson can be for us, the church today. So I pray the Holy Spirit be with all the folks in this room. They understand the true gospel and they accept no imitation of the true gospel. So they can be the salt and the light of this world. Through them, the people will recognize the true gospel and come to Christ and believe in him. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all the people in this room and the church from now and forever. Amen.